Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where we're talking about wealth strategies and investment wisdom. I'm Letitia Burbaum in for the studio for Bart Zandbergen, and I wanted to thank you, Paul, for all of your hard work and queuing us up here.
Wow, I haven't even done anything. I'm being thanked already here. Hey, you know, I'm very intimidated today here. Very intimidated. I'm not sure I can go through the whole show here. You brought a PhD with you.
Of course. Only the best, of course. So, thank you for the introduction. I am so excited today to announce we have a very special guest. He's looking at me like, oh boy, what are you going to say? So, it's Dennis Chernikov. And he's an amazing person. And today we have, yes, he is a PhD, but today we're going to be talking about 7 habits of highly effective people. And before I go into all of the fun things that we have to share today, Dennis has done some amazing things here, and he brings to us 25 years of experience addressing relationship issues with families and facilitating that. He's had his PhD in marriage and family therapy. He has done some amazing things, and one of the things that he actually talks about is he does a full 2-day conference about talking about the 7 habits of highly effective people. And so today, that's going to be our main focus on sharing with you guys stories and tips that we can talk about in studio that you guys can benefit from for having Dennis here on our show. So welcome, Dennis.
Letitia, thanks so much. Paul as well, thanks for setting us up. This is great. I'm looking forward to discussing the 7 habits of highly effective people. In addition to my private practice in marriage and family therapy down in Laguna Niguel, for the last 13 years, I've been involved with facilitating 2- and 3-day work sessions of the 7 habits of highly effective people for the Franklin Covey Company.
That's great.
Let's have some fun.
Yeah, I love it. So give us a little background. Maybe you want to share with us what are these 7 highly effective habits?
So the 7 habits of highly effective people come from a book written by Stephen R. Covey. It was published in 1989. So the book itself has been distributed in 30 different languages, and there's only about 40 million copies out there in the world.
So definitely popular.
It is incredibly popular. You'll find that book on the desk of leaders both in education, mm-hmm. in political arenas. It's a very well-known business and personal development book.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you want to give us just a high level before we dive in deep of what's the overall 7 habits?
Sure. So let's take a look at those. When we look at the 7 habits, we're looking at a system of personal life management.
I can use that.
Yeah, well, I find that most people can. As a matter of fact, I've traveled all over North America presenting these habits to people. And the great thing about it is that it's applicable to all generations. It's applicable to whatever your work or vocation, whether you're retired or whether you're just starting out in life. I've given copies of the book to people who are headed off to college, and normally they hand the book back to me and say, hey, how come no one in school taught us these things?
Yeah, so absolutely.
These are some basic principles of effectiveness. So Dr. Covey divided these habits into 2 sections. The first is the private victory. And so habits 1, 2, and 3, the first habit is to be proactive.
Okay.
The second habit has to do with beginning with the end in mind.
I like that.
The third habit has to do with prioritization or putting first things first.
I love that.
And so Dr. Covey would say, in order to win the personal victory, mm-hmm. you need to have victory in each of these 3 areas before you move on to habits of 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Okay.
And those are labeled the public victory.
Okay.
So got to take charge of yourself before you're going to take on relationships and other things with other people.
So true.
All right. So the fourth habit has to do with thinking win-win. It's a mindset.
Okay.
When I enter into a relationship, I'm not just interested in myself. I'm trying to make it a win for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth habit has to do with seeking first to be understood and then seeking first to understand and then to be understood.
Okay.
So my posture is I want to understand you first rather than telling you all the wisdom that I have stored in my head.
Got it.
All right. And then I earn the right to share my perspective. The sixth habit has to do with synergy. How do I cooperate with other people in such a way that we come up with the third alternative, is what Dr. Covey called it.
Okay.
And that would be, we have your way, we have my way. When we synergize, we come up with our way. And he would say that if you practice the first five habits, then you can work cooperatively with people in the sixth habit. As a matter of fact, if I might add just a personal note
here. Please do, yeah.
I believe that the reason a lot of us aren't able to keep long-term relationships is that we're not, first off, in charge of ourselves through the first three habits.
Makes sense.
And then we haven't learned how to operate with the other person in mind in the fourth habit.
Yep.
And a lot of us, especially in this culture, don't listen very well.
Yeah.
And because we don't listen, we don't gain understanding. And when people don't feel understood, they're not willing to hang around.
Right.
So, our relationships then tend to be pretty egocentric, and instead of having a sense of mutuality, people break apart because we have two I's instead of a W, N, and E. So instead of creating a we just have two individuals.
Got it.
Habit seven is what I call the 6 foot under habit.
Oh, say, explain that.
Okay. The 6 foot under habit is this. If you don't, if you're not on the planet, the other six habits are pretty useless. Okay, so if you're 6 feet under, the six previous habits won't help you.
That's pretty self-explanatory.
Truly. So that last habit has to do with self-care.
Mm.
How do I take care of myself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually? So Dr. Covey recognized there are parts of who we are. We are complex individuals. And if we don't take care of ourselves as adults, nobody else is going to do that.
Yeah, it's
so that's
true.
That's kind of the high overview. Do you have some specific questions about those?
Oh, geez. Well, I would definitely say overall, that makes me feel like these are general principles that everyone should apply on a day-to-day basis. I mean, I can see that. Now, maybe we can dive into deeper about some of the specific principles and or an example of how to actually apply them in our life.
Sure. Why don't we do that?
Okay.
So let's start with number one, since it's foundational.
Makes sense.
Dr. Covey wrote and said that these are a progression.
Okay.
We can't just jump in at number four and expect to be successful.
Right.
So the first habit is be proactive.
Okay.
All right. So
How can I be proactive?
How can you be proactive? Well, here's the first thing you may want to consider. Number one, are you in charge of your emotions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a section in the first habit that talks about carrying your own weather. So do I allow my moods, my emotions, other people's shortcomings to change my attitude about my day? Or am I in charge of how my emotions function? So Dr. Covey would encourage us. He'd say, hey, be able to go to your head, use your cognitive processes to control or to be the last say in how you behave. Many of us are reactive. I don't know about you, but some days I get pretty reactive.
Yeah, I can say there's days that I can be reactive.
So as part of the facilitation when I'm teaching for the 2 days, there's an illustration.
Okay.
Let me tell you if I can or
show
you.
No, please do.
So I would take a can of soda. Any variety, your favorite, whatever.
Okay.
And I would tell this story about a time where I had just finished facilitating a 2-day seminar for the Franklin Covey Company.
Yeah.
And I was headed home, and my wife had just had our children. And as I was waiting in the airport, I got the news that my flight was delayed.
Oh, no.
And as I tell this part of the story, I shake the can up a little bit.
Oh, no.
And so people are all watching me with great big eyes, and they're saying, he's shaking that soda can. And then as the story goes on, they canceled the flight, and I shake the can a little bit more.
Mm.
And then I asked for some direction about how do I get in a different flight, and the person said, well, if you run way down this alley and you wait till the end, the last flight's going to San Diego, you might be able to catch that one. And when I get there, all I hear is click. And that means they close the door to the gate, and I'm not going to be able to get on the flight. And so I shake the can again.
Oh, no.
And so people in the room are getting all panicked. Oh, no, the can is going to explode. But do you know if you tap the top of that can, just as you keep talking about your story,
I had no idea.
If you tap it, then you can open it and it won't explode.
No, that's a great trick.
It's fun. So what it illustrates is this. I can take charge of my emotions by stopping long enough. By Dr. Covey called it to just pause, okay? Just pause and stop between stimulus and response.
Right.
If I pause, then I can take charge of my reactivity, and I can be more what I call responsive. So rather than reacting, to be responsive.
Okay, so tell me how you tapped on the can in that story personally.
So the story goes on a little bit further. I ended up spending the night. It was in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
In a hotel.
Yeah.
When I walked into the hotel room, I think something died there the night before.
Oh, no.
It had an incredible odor. Then I went to open the window to try and air out the room, and there was a freeway right by the room.
You were not having good luck.
No. So I sat down on the bed, and I said, look, Dennis, you facilitate the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yes.
Just sit here for a moment, just like tapping the top of the can.
Yes.
Pause, count to 150,000 or whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And take charge of your emotions.
Yeah.
We have that capability as humans to stop ourselves, call our own timeout.
Yep.
Those of us who have children know about timeouts.
Yeah.
But we tend to apply them to our kids.
Yeah.
However, we can apply them to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Call that timeout, bring down our emotions, and get back to putting our head in charge of our decision-making.
Now, for me, that's yoga. I take a moment.
That works.
And I go, and I just let everything go. And no matter what's happening, my day, my week, my month, and I just let it go. And I just surrender, and I do my yoga workout. And that, for me, is my moment to tap on my can. So that's great.
That is great. And so you already have the concept, which is you're taking responsibility for your emotions. You're taking responsibility for your life. You would be surprised, both in my role with Franklin Covey and as a marriage and family therapist, how few people there are who get this idea that they're in charge of their own emotional world.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's so easy to get carried away by all of the chaos, or like you said, being delayed on the flight, and then it's being shut, and just no matter what you do, everything is the doors are shutting in front of you. But like you're saying, taking charge, taking a moment, letting go, resetting, and being in charge of your own. So that's absolutely great. I love that principle.
Good. So you can see that if I take responsibility for myself, I'm not going to be blaming other people.
Right.
Unfortunately, in our current culture, a lot of people seem to be able to point their index finger at other folks.
Oh my gosh, my mom, this is a side joke. I used to do that as a kid, and my mom used to always do that, and she'd point her finger at me, and then she's like, okay, Tish, you're pointing the finger at me, but how many are pointing right back at you? So that's my visual that I used to do all the time. So I learned that at a young age.
So you may, having learned that is great, but you may run into people who didn't learn that.
Right.
And unfortunately, they go around blaming people.
Mm.
Dr. Covey's structure that he taught about human development, we move from a place of dependence.
Mm-hmm.
Dependent people point their finger a lot,
okay,
and they use the pronoun you.
Interesting.
Because they believe that you're responsible for their good feelings, for their success, for their future, and they blame you for not giving them what they need emotionally.
That's a lot of pressure.
Truly. But you see, they're not willing to accept responsibility for their own life.
Yeah. And I could see how this can apply to even marriages. I mean, absolutely what you're saying is I could see it. Absolutely.
So, yes, please.
Yeah. What? So I was going to say, so tell me more. What are the solutions? What do people do?
Well,
how do they change that?
Oh, how do they change that? Well, number one, they begin by taking a look at the situation of, am I assuming responsibility for my emotions?
Yeah.
Then if they're in a relationship, to begin to say, hold it. So am I expecting my mate to meet those emotional needs? Outside Covey, in my own practice, when I'm working with marriages, I have kind of a little rule, Dr. Dennis's rule of relationship, that if you expect your mate or your significant other to meet your emotional needs, you'll be disappointed.
Right.
Because they can't do it. They can't make up for what we didn't get in our childhood.
Don't let my husband listen to this podcast.
So again, once we take responsibility for that, then habit 2 moves us into, what kind of person do I want to be now that I'm going to be responsible for myself?
Yeah, I love it. It's so empowering. Okay, tell me, number 3.
Well, number two is I'm going to begin with the end in mind.
That
I'm
was
gonna...
all number one.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Number one is deep.
We could go forever on one. It is very deep. Number two has to do with the idea of being able to then begin with the end in mind.
Okay.
What kind of person do I want to be?
All right.
And in the facilitation, we help people write a mission statement.
Okay.
What's your mission for your life?
Their own personal mission statement.
Their own personal mission statement. Not just about goals in life, but the quality of their person.
Yeah.
The legacy they'd like to leave when they leave the planet.
I love that. Isn't that good? Know me. I ask that all the time.
So that's what we work on in Habit 2. Then we move to Habit 3. Habit 3 then is to put first things first.
Yeah.
How am I going to order my life in such a way that now that I've taken charge of it and now that I have an end goal, how do I order things such that I organize my time and my efforts that I begin to move in the direction of being the kind of person I want to be.
I love that. Okay, so how do I do that?
So how do you do that? Well, a couple of pieces to consider, and they're basics. This is not rocket science.
No.
But basically, do you make appointments to yourself?
Sometimes.
Okay. Making appointments to or for yourself is a great way to block time so that people can say, I'm going to reach this goal.
Yeah.
In Dr. Covey's proposal, he talks about what are called big rocks.
Yeah.
So if you took two or three things that you blocked out on your calendar and made time for during the week,
yep,
on Friday you could fist pump because you got your big rocks accomplished.
Yes.
And even though other things might not get done,
yep,
you would reach those specific goals.
Yep. And I would have to say, I apply that to my life, and I feel like that is something that it's a real win for me, mm-hmm, because I actually do that, and I look at the big picture, and then I break it down into attainable goals, and annually, monthly, weekly, daily, what do I need to do just to get to where I want to be at the end of the day? And it's just teeny little wins to get to the big win at the end of the day. So if I showed you my calendar, you would actually probably laugh because I have little reminders on a weekly basis on those goals.
Actually, I
might... That's a personal share.
No, that's great. I might laugh, but I also might smile because you've already accommodated or put into your life these ideas, and you're making them happen.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Because my hunch is you're reaching more of the goals than you would if you weren't applying those ideas.
Yeah, I would probably agree.
All right.
Yeah.
Habit four?
Okay, ready.
Okay, so we want to come at relationships from the perspective of win-win.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, what it means is I'm not into the relationship for what I can get out of it. I'm looking at mutual benefit, mm-hmm, and mutual respect.
I love that.
So, when you get a feeling in a relationship where it's like, this is disrespectful,
mm-hmm,
that relationship doesn't have the foundation underneath it to last a long time.
So you got to go back to number one?
Well, you want to go back to number one, number two, number three, and then say, hold it. Is this in line with being in this relationship? Is it in line with the man or woman that I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And do I really want to spend precious time that I've got on the planet with someone who's not respecting me?
Right.
So again, it helps us get that mindset about relationships, that it's not just about me.
Wow, that's great.
Habit five.
Ready.
Seek first to understand and then to be understood. And this is my personal favorite among the habits.
Okay.
It's a habit that says, listen.
Mm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Listen. Listen not to raise your hand and get the right answer like we're trained in school.
Yeah.
Okay, so we all know, listen carefully, raise your hand quick, and maybe the teacher will call on you, and then you'll get the right answer, and everyone will know how smart you are.
Okay.
Well, that's fine, and that may get us to certain positions in life, but if you're trying to build a relationship of cooperation, a relationship where there's a base of respect and understanding, it's about listening to understand the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So when we listen to understand, we don't bring the conversation back to ourselves. We don't say statements like, oh, I had an experience just like that. Let me tell you about me.
Mm.
The focus of the conversation stays on the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they bring to the discussion, we're going to stay on that topic until we both agree to move to another topic.
Makes sense.
Yes. And so in that sense, I want to understand you creates a good feeling between people. How do you feel when someone pulls up their phone in the middle of a conversation and starts checking their email while you're talking?
I don't know. Don't ask my husband that.
So,
or Bart.
There's a sense about that what we're talking about isn't that important. You're trying to understand something else. And we've all done it, please. This is not about you feeling guilty. But we want to catch ourselves. So a tip from this habit would be, if you're going to listen to someone, then commit to listening to understand,
mm-hmm,
not just put in time.
Got it.
There's a classic Chinese character that talks about listening with a virtuous ear.
Okay.
And it includes not only your ears, but your eyes and your heart.
I like that.
So listening is not just people say, oh, use your ears. No, it includes your eyes and your heart as well.
I love that.
Right. Habit six, then, is the culmination of the habits in the sense of the progression. And habit six has to do with synergy. We want to create that sense that we're operating together. And so it brings together all the previous habits, the listening, the personal responsibility, the goals, the planning, etc., so that I can then withhold my comments while someone is stating their position. Then I state mine, and we work toward creating that synergistic third alternative that that every organization really needs as far as being successful.
So give me an example of that.
an example of that. You came to the table. We're both working on a project regarding revamping a parking lot.
Okay.
And I came with my proposal, and I said, let's do the lines of the parking lot in this way, and I lay out my plan.
Yeah.
And you come, and you say, oh, I've thought of a plan, too. Here's my plan. And we look at it, and we think, oh, I really liked my plan when I brought it. But you really like yours. How about if we take some of the ideas from yours and some from mine, and we create our plan?
Got it.
And so, again, it takes that mutual respect.
Yeah.
It takes the ability to acknowledge someone else. Yes.
Yeah.
Some flexibility.
Yeah.
But please know, part of this is people say, well, we'll reach some type of a compromise.
Maybe not.
Dr. Covey wasn't big on compromise. He would say that in compromise, 1 + 1 = -2.
Interesting.
But he said, if we think cooperatively, if we think synergistically, 1 + 1 could be 10 or 100 or 1,000.
I like that math.
Because we're not invested in ourselves. We're invested in the overall income
or
the outcome of it.
I like it.
Habit 7 then is about that personal care habit again. We want to be able to take care of me. Take care of me in those areas of, as we said, mental health, physical health, relational or emotional health, and finally that spiritual dimension as well.
So it's putting the package all together.
It is. It all fits into one great big package that Dr. Covey called the maturity continuum. So that's that movement from dependent people at the bottom.
Yes.
Independent people once you've taken care of the private victory.
Uh-huh.
And then interdependent people once you learn habits 5 through 7. Four, five, six, and seven.
This is so great. So I can't believe that we're literally almost out of time.
It's amazing.
And I feel like we're just getting started on this great conversation.
It is fun.
So how can people find out more information? Because this is just the beginning. And I know that we're going to put things online and share links. But overall, how do people find you and find more information about all the things that we've talked about today?
Great. If people would like to contact me, the easiest way, I have a simple email address.
Okay.
And that's my last name. I'm going to spell that for
everyone. Yeah, please do.
C-H-E-R-N-E-K-O, F as in Frank, @yahoo.com. That's Chernikov@yahoo.com.
Got it. And you can always connect with us, and we will pass on your information.
And I'm glad to talk to them about anything that's offered by Franklin Covey or about my private practice in marriage and family therapy.
Yeah, I love that. So, Paul, do we have one more moment I can ask him our final question?
Let's make time for how many times do we get a smart guy like this in here?
Okay, great. Well, our last question is about what's your ultimate lesson learned, and we ask this to all of our guests, so I am really excited to hear your ultimate lesson.
Well, that's really kind. The ultimate lesson, and I thought about this outside the shower, by the way. I thought about this, and I said to myself, all right, first off, it has to do with understanding your values. So the important lesson is to understand your personal set of values, your value system.
Yeah.
Then to be able to understand how that's going to be applied to your life.
Yeah.
If you live congruently with that value system, you'll have the most significant and meaningful life that you can have.
I love that. That's so great.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. So wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. We're out of time, but I've had so much fun. I feel like I'm ready for you to come in and definitely, at least in our office, do the two-day workshop.
Well, that would be a great opportunity. And I appreciate you having me on today. This has been a ton of fun.
Yes,
thanks so much.
Thank you. Well, everyone, if you want to find us, you can log on. You can download our Zanbergen report on our online on iTunes, and we're on Podbeam, and you can find me at Letitia, my Letitia Berbaum, and that's LetitiaBerbaum, and I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram, and you can also go to our website as well to find more information about all the great tools that we talked about today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Talk to you soon.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zanbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzanbergen.podbean.com. The Zanbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzanbergen.com. Bart A. Zanbergen, CFP, and Letitia Berbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc. under SEC registration.